Now, the worship service of Avon United Methodist Church, located at 130 Genesee Street in Avon, New York. Pastor Keith Griswold. Welcome to worship with the Avon United Methodist Church.
Okay, Mark stopped playing, so I guess I have to talk. Welcome this morning. I'm glad you're all out on such a beautiful blue sky and cold day. It's nice to be out, though, to be in church for worship, and we want to start out with announcements.
We are going to be collecting the gift bags for the members of the nursing home, and we've had a lot of people already sign up. But if you're interested in creating a gift bag for a woman, we have 3 slots open for that. And if you'd like to create one for a man, there's 1 slot for that. Also, if you've already signed up and you need a list of what to put in the bag or ideas, I have that list. You can see me for that too.
The food pantry is really good with the food donations because of the scouts and all the church donations, but they're looking for donations of paper goods. So toilet paper, tissues, paper towels, they're like really low, almost out of that. And if people could contribute, that would be a big help.
And as we're getting into Advent next Sunday, I've got an Advent study laid out. And the study group I'm going to be leading will be on Tuesday nights, starting the Tuesday right after Thanksgiving. Books are here in the back, study books. Devotionals are back there as well. And I would ask if you could just take one per household. So this way you've got a devotional to read during the Advent season. And we want to welcome those who are joining us online as well as those who are joining us on the radio. If you would, please join your heart with mine as we come to God before him in prayer. Loving God, Heavenly Father, we turn to you now, and we do give you our thanks and our praise for the beauties of this day that you have created for us. And in your love and in your mercy, we turn to you, Lord, and we lift up to you those whose names we have mentioned already. Lord, for those who are sick and ill and who need a healing touch in their lives, who need your spirit of comfort and peace to be with them, and for their families, Lord, who are worried and concerned, we ask that you would just be there in a special way and bring healing, strength, and wholeness. Lord, for those who are grieving, who are in need this day of peace because they have lost loved ones or they are in the process of seeing them fade away, we ask that you would be there, touch them, and hold them close to your heart. Again, as we enter into this time of prayer and worship, we think of our church and its needs locally, in the country, and around the world. Lord, pour your spirit out upon your people and guide us in the work that you have called us to do. For our nation, Lord, and especially for those who grieve this day from the tragedy of mass killings, we ask that you would be with those families and those who have survived. Again, Lord, be with us this day. Be with us in our songs and in our silence, in our prayers and in our praise. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Please join me in a call to worship. Come, let us give thanks to God.
We gather together to praise the one who strengthens the weak and hears the prayers of the forgotten.
Come, let us give thanks to Christ.
We gather together to sing to the one who calls us to serve those who are hungry and alone, those who need to know his love.
Come, let us give thanks to the Spirit.
We gather together to exalt the one who empowers us to love not only our family and friends, but the guests among us.
Please join us in hymn number 67, We Thy People Praise Thee. Join me in a prayer of unison.
God of all life, beyond our imagining, and yet you come so close. You give the poor a place of dignity among the powerful. You make a home for the homeless and bring joy abounding to the families and communities. We come together to celebrate and give thanks for your harvest. May we live within your reality, share your vision, and do your will, that the whole earth may echo your glory. We ask this in the name of one who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the power, and the glory forever.
Thank you. Today is from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 12 through 15. The service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but it is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourself, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. God's word for God's people.
Today we come to my last sermon in this series that I've been calling Moving Towards Generosity. And I hope as a result of this that we have a deeper understanding that being a generous person is part of our spiritual transformation. Our true life in Christ is to include generosity. Now, as you read the New Testament, you find that most of the letters have something to say in them about that spiritual transformation, of our moving from the ways of the world to learning to live by God's ways. And doing it, as we have seen it done in Jesus, in his life and in his teachings. Probably the most concise verse in the whole New Testament about this transformation is this one. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Our transformation. Now, if there was ever a group of believers who were struggling with that process of transformation, it was probably the Christians in Corinth. Paul's two letters that you find in the New Testament are Holy Spirit-inspired missives written to help them and to help us to spiritually grow, to spiritually mature, to become the people that we need to be. Shortly before the passage that Marcia just read for us this morning, we have his conclusion on the generous life. Paul is encouraging them, he's challenging them in this process of transformation and generosity. He wrote these words, "But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving." Followers of Jesus in every age have sought to be generous givers because we serve a God who excels in giving. As we shared 2 weeks ago, that was seen in the ultimate sacrifice of God sending his Son to show us how much we are loved. But we also need to ask ourselves, how do we know when we are being generous givers? Is it the amount of time we spend doing work for the church? Is it the amount of money that we have placed into our offering plate? I would suggest that being a generous giver is not found in the quantitative amounts of time or money. Rather, it is in how much of a sacrifice was it in giving our time or our money. Mark's gospel, Jesus himself tells us that sacrifice is the standard. Sitting across from the offering box, Jesus was observing how the crowd tossed money in for the collection. Many of the rich were making large contributions. One poor widow came up and put in 2 small coins, a measly 2 cents. Jesus called his disciples over and said, "The truth is, this poor widow gave more to the collection than all of the others put together. All the others gave what they will never miss. She gave extravagantly what she couldn't afford. She gave her all." From Jesus' statement, I would suggest that as we seek to move towards a life of generosity, we need to examine our hearts first and then what we give second. Jesus' statement is a challenging one. He's not holding up those large amounts of money that are given as an example. Rather, he is holding up the large sacrifice as an example to be followed. Whatever we're giving to God's work, whatever it is, our time, our abilities, or our money, we need to examine and see if we are giving as much of ourselves as we can. Is it stretching us? Is it challenging us? Is it going to call for sacrifice on our part? In other words, will we need to depend upon God to help us to follow through on what we are going to give? God wants us to be generous givers, but first, God seeks givers who are going to give their all and give it back to God. We need to be givers who are dependent upon God. We need to depend upon God in what we give, how we give it, and then living by the faith and trust after we've given it. The Apostle Paul challenges all Christians about the how we give. This is what he wrote in his first letter. Listen to this. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. When we give, we are to give in agape love. Now, agape was one of those Greek words. There are several Greek words for the word love. And it was very little used in normal talk in Greek culture back then. It does not mean romantic love. It does not mean family love like you would have for your brother or your sister. The essence of agape love is the goodwill of another person. It is a love that is expressed solely for the benefit of the other person, the one who is the object of your love. The New Testament writers picked up on this very seldom used Greek word, agape, and they applied it towards God. They said God's very nature is agape love. Now you have to wonder, what was going through Paul's mind when he wrote that sentence? Was he thinking of Jesus giving over his body, of Jesus' dying on the cross, sacrificing his life out of agape love for us? With Jesus as our example, this makes the idea of giving unique for us. See, as Jesus' followers, we don't give to get a tax break. We don't give to get attention. We don't give to get credit with God. We give out of love for the benefit of another person. Now, maybe Paul was also thinking that we need to engage with the people we're giving and serving. That there needs to be a sense of connection. That when we give, it needs to change from the impersonal us and them to a more personal you and me. Because when it becomes me helping you or you helping me, it is personal. And I am opening myself up to knowing you. And I am opening myself up to being changed. Listen again to what Paul says here. If I give but do not have love, I gain nothing. If we're not engaged with others in a loving relationship as we give, I don't think we're going to grow. Or maybe not as much as we should. We're not going to become more like Jesus like we should. Summer of 2003, David Timothy bought an old van, had over 200,000 miles on it. Along with the help of a friend, he converted it into a mobile kitchen, and they called it the Soup Mobile. And he started to take food to the homeless people in Dallas, Texas. Now, Timothy had always wanted to open a soup kitchen. In part, it's because he himself grew up poor and hungry. He was never homeless, he says, but he grew up in Detroit, where he said some nights his supper was a piece of bread with butter on it and some sugar sprinkled on it. Breakfast was cereal with water, because they couldn't afford the milk. Now, he calls himself the soup man, as he drives his soup mobile, And when he started out that first year in 2003, he served that first year 5,000 meals. Today he has a staff, he has a team of volunteers, and they serve 250,000 meals a year to the homeless in Dallas, Texas. 36-year-old woman said, "He does things for us that other people would not do, like brings us food and clothes, water, juice, dog food, and blankets. He opened up a church where he allows anybody to bring their dog in, because if you know anything about homeless people, dogs are their companions. And so he feels that not only taking care of the person, but taking care of the pet is a necessity. And so in his church building, anybody can walk in and bring their pet dog in for worship service." One homeless man that he's helped said this: "He don't have to come out here, but he comes out here because he's got God in him." When we've got God in us, when we've got God's love in us, then we seek to engage with the people that we give to. And as we give, we gain something. We grow spiritually. We have more of the life of Christ in us. Now, I would suggest that we not only need to engage with those around us as we minister with them, but we also need to engage with God in our giving. You know, of all of the books in the Old Testament, the Old Testament book of Leviticus is hardly the one that most of us would turn to for inspirational reading. It is filled with long, detailed descriptions of religious laws and rituals. These are rituals that God gave Moses so that the people would have a way to worship. I want to share just two verses with you, and it's out of a section that details how sacrifices were to be made. This is God speaking to Moses. "Say to the Israelites, anyone who brings a fellowship offering to the Lord is to bring part of it as their sacrifice to the Lord with their own hands. They are to present the food offering to the Lord." Now, I did a word search, and in the book of Leviticus, the word offering is used over 200 times. That shows us how important this idea of offering is in our worship to God. In this passage right here, the specific offering is called a fellowship offering. And that was an offering that an individual would make as a way of saying thank you to God. Thank you, God, for the blessings that I have received. Thank you for a safe journey. But it was a way of saying thanks to God. But did you notice what it says here? That the person is to bring it with their own hands. It was not something delegated to the priests. It was an offering that the individual would bring on their own to God. It was between them and God. That's it. Paul even writes about this concept to the Corinthians. He's asking them to support the poor Christians back in Jerusalem. And as he writes to them, he said, "Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver." See, our giving is something that is between us and God. From the days of Moses up to today, God's people have been asked to give offerings to God as an act of worship. And these offerings have been used to support the ministry that we do with each other. These are offerings that support the ministry that we do in our fellowship, in our community, and around the world. When we are extravagantly generous, when we give out of agape love, our life is transformed and the world around us is transformed. We take a step closer to seeing God's reign, God's will being done on earth. When Paul wrote, "Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give," he was basically saying we should have a plan for how and when we give back to God. Decide in your heart about the offering that God would have you give for the work of the church. Thanks be to God. Can I ask if you would please to take your hymnal, and we're going to sing, "The Spirit Sends Us Forth to Serve."
Thank you.
Now go and serve in Jesus' name. Give God thanks this week. Pour out your blessings upon those who need a blessing. Go now in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You've been listening to the 10 a.m. service from the Avon United Methodist Church, located at 130 Genesee Street in the village of Avon. We hope that you have experienced the love of Jesus Christ during your time with us. We invite you to join us on the air weekly at 7:30 a.m. Sundays or in person at 10 a.m. Please visit us on the web at avonnyumc.org or call us at 226-8600. May God richly bless you.